Delight in the Act of Creation. Written by Not Quite a Ghost. Read by Opalsong. Fandom, Star Wars. Rating, Teen. Category, Gen. Also tagged for Trans Obi-Wan Kenobi. Trans Clone Troopers. Oops, All Trans. And Light Cody Wan Pre-Slash. Part 2 of Love is Like Falling. Recorded for Lattice Frames for ITPE 2022.
Don't take yourself so seriously. Look at you all dressed up for someone you never see. You're here for a reason, but you don't know why. You're split and uneven, your hands to the sky. Surrender yourself. And I wonder why I tear myself down to be built back up again. Oh, I hope somehow I'll wake up young again. All that's left of myself.
It's Mirage, of course, who finally asks. She's just been promoted to lieutenant and is taking advantage of the relative peace of the officers' refuge for the first time. They're on their way to provide reinforcements to the 41st, that anticipatory kind of downtime no one can sit through. Mirage is, case in point, sharpening one of her knives. Speck is sitting on the couch she's leaning against, doing the customary obsessive checks of their weapon stock. Ellie is laying with their head in Speck's lap. Kenobi is also on the floor, cross-legged and probably meditating. Cody has the other couch all to himself. "Hey, sir," Mirage asks, breaking a good 10 minutes of comfortable silence. "How come we get all the Nejigeek vode?" "We don't get all of them," Kenobi says, ever the pedant. He doesn't open his eyes. "More Nejigeek than not," Mirage counters. "Cody's the only Jag with rank." Cody gives her a look. "Don't remember telling you that." "Trikaik Vod," Mirage says easily. "No Jag with rank then." "Well," Kenobi says, "I expect it's because I'm trans myself. And Shock trusts me not to assume I have any right to control how you present yourselves." Every Vod in the room blinks at him. Again, it's Mirage who asks, "You're not a man?" Kenobi finally opens his eyes at that, to look at them all with bemused fondness. "No, I'm very much a man. It was just assumed otherwise, however, at my birth."
"Jedi do that?"
"Gender is a cultural construct," Kenobi says. Cody boggles, once again, at the sheer amount of things Natborns know. "Every society there has ever been has had trans people, because the nature of people means no collective framework will be broad enough to work for everyone. Has this really not come up before?"
"Longnecks don't exactly encourage it," Speck huffs. "Not about to give us flash training on why it's actually perfectly natural."
Kenobi gets the look on his face that means he's imagining storming Kamino and murdering every longneck personally again. "I can find you some information," he says, "in discrete formats. You've sliced into the archives already, I assume." No one answers. He rolls his eyes. "Slicing into the archives is an initiate rite of passage, and then a knight rite of passage, to get to the really encrypted things. Really, if you still think I'll chastise you for breaking the rules, I've failed you as a general. I was briefly banned from the archives as a Padawan. You were banned? Kenobi smiles, like it's a good memory. Yes, I got into an argument with Master Nu that escalated into something of an ongoing feud. She's still not that fond of me. The head archivist? Cody asks, incredulous. I was researching the history of the Sith, Kenobi says, who, at the time, were thought to be quite extinct, and it was slightly controversial to discuss them at all. The narrative we were taught suggested this was inevitable, as the dark is innately destructive. I argued that that's an unnecessarily reductive view that diminishes the great effort of past Jedi to defeat the Sith. He smiles again, wider. Master Nu decided I was glorifying violence and war. Qui-Gon had her rebuttal to my essay framed and hung prominently in our quarters. Little gods, Speck says. You've always been like this? Kenobi flashes Speck a grin. I'm just as amazed as you they gave me of Batillion, let alone a system army and a seat on the council, yes? Wait, back up. Mirage points at Kenobi with her knife, uses it to gesture loosely at his physical form. You're all man-shaped. How are you man-shaped? Testosterone, Kenobi says, like it's obvious. He's lucky they've all seen him take that tone with Skywalker and Vos and every senator they've had to cross paths with. Otherwise, the implied offense would have gotten him punched by now. An implant in my arm. I want one, Mirage says immediately. Cody opens his mouth to remind her that on their last campaign they were rationing Bacta based on how potentially lethal a wound was. No way the Senate will cough up for anything not life-saving. But Kenobi hums, thoughtful, and says, The temple has a decent supply. Is that something many Nejagik Vode would be interested in? Mirage stares at him. Wait, really? Before the war, dear one, mostly what the galaxy asked of the Jedi was philanthropic aid. We exist as an order to help where we can. He looks wistful for a moment. It would be nice to do something purely altruistic again. Give me the comm code of the Jedi Quartermaster, Speck says. Kenobi does. Cody wonders if the way his ears are ringing is what being Force-sensitive is like. Speck says, disbelieving. This is a program? This is a requisitions interface encoded into a comm channel? There's an option for food? Kenobi says apologetically. That's for the temple commissary. I don't think they'll deliver to the front. Speck still scrolling. Sir, Speck says. I'm never forgiving you for not telling me about this immediately. Holy shit, there's intoxicants. That's illegal in half the Republic. We're in no obligation to hand over any substances we happen to encounter while on mission, Kenobi says casually. Cody makes a mental note to dig up the Jedi's legal agreements with the Senate and with the Coruscant authorities. I need Master T's comm code, Speck says, now typing. We have to update the Jedi flash training. I can't believe the Longnecks told us you were all rule-abiding squares. No ulterior motive there at all, I'm sure, Ellie says. Mirage makes an impolite hand gesture in the cardinal direction of Kamino. Okay, Speck says. I'm forwarding you all the relevant lists. I need to check what the limits are, and actually asking your Vode is your problem. And I'm vetoing the hard intoxicants. Cody's calm does not chime. Neither does Kenobi's. They give each other the familiar look of commiseration about Speck rendering them useless. Can I continue meditating now? Kenobi asks. Mirage says, No, I want to hear more about Nejagik Nevode. There's books, right? Are there a lot of you? Do you think there's more or less than the Vode? Kenobi sighs quietly and pushes to his feet. walks over to the calf machine. He pours another 3 cups, doctors his until it's both strong enough to kill anyone without a pre-existing dependency and sweet enough to disguise that it's calf, drinks half of it, and says, "You have holonet access, you know. Commander Fox put a lot of work into ensuring that." "Yeah, but the holonet doesn't go on tangents about insane things it did as a cadet, or the sociopolitical history of that planet, or how to rewire a DC into a bomb." "I would hope." Kenobi walks back over to them and sits on the other end of Cody's couch, tucking his legs up underneath him in a way Cody has absolutely no opinion on, "that I don't need to explain how to rewire a DC into a bomb." Mirage just gives him a look until he huffs to ineffectively disguise his grin and adds, "Well, there's not exactly been a galactic survey. It's difficult enough to get accurate population counts, never mind demographics. But anecdotally, I would say the percentages are roughly the same. Of course, what counts as trans varies somewhat between species." Cody, as interested as he is in the topic, and as willing as he always is to listen to Kenobi talk, lets the impromptu lecture fade into the background in favor of opening his comm. Korika.
"Did you know Kenobi was Nejigeek?" "Well, trans. Nejigeek for natborns, who aren't all assumed to be men."
Galaxy's most annoying VOD.
"No, I did not." "Huh."
Korika.
"How can I not fuck him?"
Galaxy's most annoying VOD.
"It's only your hang-up stopping you."
Korika.
"Ugh." "He's my CO, and I'm not legally a person."
Galaxy's most annoying VOD.
"Remember just after your first deployment when Skywalker was having that panic attack and wanted Kenobi to go storm Kamino with him, and Kenobi didn't say, 'No, Padawan, the Jedi leading an army of slaves is a great idea'? And instead he pointed out, as fucking horrible as it is, there's a lot of good reasons to emancipate us formally and legally, even if that will take far longer. And then he made Skywalker call Amidala to start drafting a bill. And I said then that you should ask him out, 3 weeks after Geonosis."
Korika.
"This isn't helpful. This just makes me want to murder you." "Did Spec message you?"
Galaxy's most annoying VOD.
"Your lieutenant? No."
Korika.
"Mirage asked if Kenobi's trans, how come he looks like a man, and he said he has an implant, and she said she wants one, and he said, 'Yeah, okay, the Order have spares.' The last half hour has been a fucking fever dream. Not even actionable intel. We are on our way to the fight."
Galaxy's most annoying VOD.
"Again, you can just fuck him."
Korika.
"I despise you."
Cody puts his comm away, even as it chimes. Talking to Fox is helpful, usually, but not often in the lead-up to a battle. He's too keyed up. Kenobi is still talking. Mirage and Ellie a rapt audience, while Speck, presumably, organizes a small-scale revolution through comm messages alone. Cody nods at all of them, grabs his calf, and goes to find someone to spar. There'll be no shortage of eager volunteers, and hopefully, if he gets hit in the head enough, he can stop thinking about what else Kenobi might find a way to get them, if only he asked.
The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!